Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf. We're at the Mishnah Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph, 13 lines from the top. We learned in an earlier Mishnah regarding a fire which broke out on Shabbos, how much food can one salvage from the fire. The Mishnah told us there's a limit. Food for three meals. Why? We're concerned about over-involvement, perhaps the on account of his trepidation, fear, anxiety over the loss of his property. Perhaps he'll disregard and forget about Shabbos and be tempted to put out the fire. Therefore, the Chacham imposed a limit. We can only save mazon food for three meals. Now, what about if there's one container which contains a large quantity of food within it? Says our Mishnah, Matzilin sal mole kikris. One may save a basket full of loaves of bread, even though there's enough bread there for 100 meals. It's okay since he's carrying it out in one swoop. It's one sal. Therefore, it's irrelevant if it's a lot or a little. It's one act of hatzolah, one act of salvaging. Therefore, there's no concern. He's not overly involved. He's not getting immersed in salvaging the property, and therefore there's no concern about putting out a fire. So if this sal contains much bread, it's mutter. Likewise, the eagle shall dvela, a round glob of dried figs, even though there's a large quantity there, the chavishal yain, or a barrel full of wine. So since these things are contained in one container, all he needs to do is pick it up and take it out, it's okay. Continues the Mishnah. Now you can turn to others and say, come and save for yourself. Look, there's so much food lying there. Go salvage some food for yourself. Now, if they were wise and educated, and they were smart, so they sit down with him and they make a cheshbon with him, a calculation. How much he owes them for their effort. So where is he going to save, transport these food items? To where? Says the Mishnah, L'chatzar Morevas, he takes it out to a chatzar, which has an Erev. So he can't carry out the food to a place with no Erev. So Erev is the Erev Chatzar, we're speaking about, where all the homeowners combine their ownership by making an Erev Chatzar. So only there can he transport this food. There's no allowance, as in contrast to Kisvei HaKodesh, to the Sfarim, where there is an allowance to actually transport them to a place without an Erev. That heter, that kula, does not apply to food. This is the shita of the Tanakhama. Ben Besero, he can even transport the food to a place with no Erev. Because the Chacham applied a kula in this case, because he's saving the food, and therefore, even if there's no Erev, he can transport, carry the food into that location. So we discussed saving food. What about other items or garments, clothing? Continues the Mishnah. Olesham, now to that same place that we just discussed, Moitzi called Kleta Shmishoy. He can go and transport to that place all the kalim that he needs for Shabbos, all the utensils that he's going to use on Shabbos. What about clothing? So we have two shittas. V'loivish kol mashiyocha lilbosh. Tanakama here says, he may get dressed, he can put on anything, even layers upon layers. V'oitiv kol mashiyocha latoiv. He can go ahead and wrap himself with anything that he can get his hands on. It has to be derech levisha. It has to be the ordinary, the common way of wearing and wrapping. He can't just throw stuff on himself. But if he's doing it the proper way, he's dressing properly, wrapping himself properly, he can even do layers, layer upon layer, as many as he can do, and salvage them from the fire in this manner. So this is the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yisrael, no. We must limit him. Once again, perhaps through his over-involvement, over-exertion, he's going to put out the fire. Therefore, he's limited. And basically says he can only wear a maximum of Yud Ches Kalim, 18 garments, which the Gemara will list for us as considered to be the norm, the most a person would wear at once, different types of garments. However, the Tanakhama holds that since we require him to actually wear the clothing, wrap himself, Derech Levisha, Derech Ituf, he's not simply picking stuff up and taking it out. So that's a restriction enough. It's enough limitation that you're imposing on him that would preclude his, preempt the concern of going ahead and putting out the fire. Continues the Mishnah. And this is going back to Tanakhama, who allows layers and wrappings. So he picks up all this stuff, he wraps himself, takes it out. Now he can undress. Go back inside, come back in, and again get dressed. And transport these clothing out. So you can do many shifts. He can repeat the same process over and over. This is the Shita of Tanakama, as opposed to Rabbi Yosi, who appears to hold the note. It's a one-time allowance, only one time, 18 garments. And concludes the Mishnah, Va'im al-Achirim, he can turn to others and say, look, Boye Vatzil Imri, come and save with me. Come, get put on some of the clothing, the garments, and save along with me. Now it's interesting, we have a contrast in the linguistics here, the terminology. In the Reisha, it says, Boye Vatzil Lachem, come save for yourself, which indicates that perhaps the items that they're going to save belongs to them because it's Hefker. Because he can't save anymore. He can only save a maximum of 3 sudas. So that's why he's using that term lochem, as opposed to the seifa, the Gemara is going to explain, that he uses the term, boy, me, come save with me, because these items, these garments still belong to him. They're not hefker. They're not rendered ownerless because he still intends on coming back and re-wearing them. He can still do this process throughout the day. He's not limited. Therefore, it's not hefker, it's not ownerless, and therefore, he uses the term, me, with me, meaning that the clothing still belong to him. Continues the Gemara. We began with the Mishnah, with this case of the basket containing much bread, and he can go ahead and save the entire basket despite its large quantity. V'atana l'reisha, we have learned in the reisha, in the beginning of the Mishnah, early on, daf kuf yud zayin amud beis, there's a limit imposed. The Mishnah says, gimel suda, he says, suda, only 3 meals worth, and no more. So how can he go ahead and save enough bread for 100 meals? So you have 2 to root some the Gemara. Amar of Hunaloi Kasha, there's no Kasha here. Kambe Bala Hatzel. Kambe Bala Kapil, depends what he's doing. In our case, he's Bala Hatzel, simply coming to salvage, to save all at once. It's all contained in one container. He's picking it up and carrying it out. So the additional effort here is very insignificant. Since it's one act, one Maisa, he's not going and gathering together from the area. He's simply picking this thing up and taking it out. So what difference does it make whether there's only 3 meals worth or 100 meals worth? The difference is very slight. The difference in tirch and exertion effort is very, very slight and minimal. Therefore, there's no concern about over-involvement. And the Mishnah allows them to be matzel, this entire container. So kan b'bala hatzel here, which we allow, is speaking about bala hatzel, is simply coming to save the whole thing in one container. However, the Mishnah earlier, which says that he's limited to 3 meals, Kan bebalik kapil. He's gathering together containers and he's gathering from all over the place. It's not in one container. Therefore, that over-involvement entails a concern of perhaps in putting out, going, being inclined to put out the fire. So that's the difference between our Mishnah and the earlier Mishnah. Explains the Gemara. Bala hatzel, he's coming merely to save at once. Matzlas kulan, he can save the entire content. Bala kapil, if he's going to gather together various containers, enim, a kapil, a mazin, gimel sudais, in that case, he can only do so for the amount suitable for 3 sudais. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, who explains this. So Rashi here is 14 lines from the top, beginning with the words Gemara, bebala hatzel. So our Mishnah is speaking about bala hatzel, shehitzil besal echad. He only saved us one basket, ketani, as it says, sal mole kikris. Vene tereach elatzilam tehad leke vasachas. He's not exerting much effort, he's merely saving it all at once. Therefore, matzel kol masha basal. Therefore, he's allowed to save anything within this container. Dochad zimno, it's one shot, it's one swoop, it's one time. Mali purta, what difference does it make? If it's a bit, mali tuva, or it's a lot. However, bebala kapil, salam harbe, zemzeh, he's gathering together baskets. To exert himself to gather, in that case, in that case, he's only allowed to save the amount needed for 3 sudais. And no more than that. Because every basket is a separate exertion, therefore, we're afraid about overexertion, over involvement, and we limit it to 3 sudais. So that's the first approach in the Gemara. Depends if it's in one container, then regardless of the quantity, he's allowed to, and if it's in more containers, then we limit it to 3 sudas. That's the first approach of Rav Huna. Continues the Gemara. Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar, Amar Rav. So he said in the name of Rav a different teretz to answer the kasha between the two missions. Idiv idiv b'bala kapil. Both missions are discussing gathering together containers, baskets. Still in our Mishnah, he's allowed to salvage a large amount. Why? V'loi kasha, it's not a kasha. Kan lo'isa chatzar. Our mission is speaking about transporting the food lo'isa chatzar. He's taking it to this courtyard. He's not taking it to a different courtyard. So the exertion here is minimal, and therefore we allow it, even if it's many containers. The earlier Mishnah, which limits him to three sudi, is speaking about transporting to a different courtyard. That involves more effort, more exertion. Therefore, we're concerned that due to his over-involvement, he might be inclined to put out the fire. We limit it to three sudis. So in summary, we have two terutzim. Either the difference is when it's in one container, then he's unlimited. When it's in many containers, then he's limited. Or the difference is whether it's in the same chatzar, then he's allowed to do even a large quantity, as opposed to a different chatzar where we limit him. So he asked the following question. What's going to be in the following scenario? Pireis talisa. So he spread out his talis. V'kipel v'hiniach, v'kipel v'hiniach. He went ahead and he gathered together v'kipel v'hiniach, and he placed it in this talis. V'kipel v'hiniach. Mai, what is the halacha here? Now, we have two sides of the coin here. On the one hand, he is gathering together baskets. He's involved in tirch and exertion effort. On the other hand, how is he transporting this food, this content? It's going to take place in one act, because he's gathering together in one container, one talis, then he's going to wrap it all up and carry it out all at once. It's vavas achas. It's one mice hatzalah. So do we focus on the gathering aspect of it, which is extensive, or do we focus on the actual salvaging of the food, which is one mice hatzalah? Two ways to look at it. Mai, what is the halacha here? How do we view this? How do we treat it? Give bala hatzal domi. Do we regard it as though he's bala hatzal, as simply salvaging in one shot, in one swoop, and it's mutter? Or is this regarded as though he's gathering and collecting, in which we impose a limitation of three sudas? So two ways to look at it. Says the Martah Shema, come and listen to the following right. The fact that Rava issued the following statement, he said like this. Ate Rav Shezvi, Rav Chizda, Vidarash. Rav Shezvi caused Rav Chizda to err, to make a mistake. Vidarash. And Rav Shezvi said a drasha, meaning he taught the following halacha, meaning that he taught the following, Rav Shezvi taught the following halacha for Rav Chizda, and Rav Chizda agreed to it. So he caused Rav Chizda to make a mistake, meaning that the halacha was not really correct. That's what Rava maintains. What was this drasha that Rav Shezvi said that according to Rava is incorrect? Going back to that brisa that we mentioned earlier in Afkuf Yud Zayin, regarding a chavis, a barrel of wine that cracked up, and he's going to salvage the contents, he brings a kli, the brisa says he can bring a kli, collect the flow of wine, and Rav Shezvi said, listen, he's allowed to do it, ubelvad, provide, he must be careful, shelo yavi kli shu machzik, yoyse megimol sudis. He cannot bring a large container, which contains more than three sudas worth of wine. So according to Rav Shezvi, in this case, where it's actually similar to our shayla, why? As Rashi explains, because just like in our case, he's gathering together, but he's going and gathering it into this talis. So it's ending up really being contained in one container. Likewise, in the case of the wine is coming in a bit at a time, right? Dripping into this container. So it's coming incrementally, it's coming a bit at a time, but it's gathering into one container. So it's very similar to our shiloh. And Rav Shezvi says, look, you're limited to three sudis. So Shezvi apparently holds that we disregard the fact that it gathers together in one container with you. We look at it, we focus on the gathering aspect, since it's coming together bit by bit. Therefore, we ignore the fact that it's being contained in one container, and therefore he's limited to three sudas. Right? That's what Shezvi's opinion. Now, Rava, who made a statement as follows, he says, Rav Shezvi, he made Rav Chizda error by saying this drasha in front of him and having Rav Chizda agree to it. So this was a mistake. This was incorrect. This halacha is not true. So apparently, Shema Mino says the Gemara we learn from here, Kibbalah Hatzal Domi, that the halacha maintains that this type of case is regarded as Bala Hatzal, as though he's merely saving it in one swoop, in one act, in one maisa, since he's actually only taking this, because it's all gathering in this one container. It's considered to be one ma'is atzal, and therefore he's unlimited. He's not restricted to three sudas. He can take a large container and have the wine flow into it. And likewise, in our case, he can take all the baskets that he wants and put it, gather it into the talis and carry it out in one shot. It's okay. It has the halacha of bala hatzel, which is our Mishnah, which allows even a large quantity. Shema menokim bala hatzel dami v'shaper dami, and this is fine. It's okay. So we have a conclusion to our shaila. That in this case, we treat it as bala hatzel, since he's actually salvaging it, he's transporting it in one time with one, and one within one container. Therefore, he's unlimited as to the content. Omale Rav Nachmar Yitzchak l'Rava. So now, we just mentioned that Rava maintained that Rav Shezvi's limitation is incorrect. So Rav Nachmar Yitzchak asked him, "My Tuso, what's the mistake? How do you know he made a mistake? Perhaps he's right." Omale, very simple. So Rava responded, "Diktani, because in that Brisa, which discusses bringing the Kli to collect the wine, what does the Brisa say? There is a limitation, but not in the manner that Rav Shezvi presented it. The Brisa says, well, Vashal Yavi Kli Achar Yiklit. He's only allowed to bring one kli. He can't bring another kli to collect the flow from the catch at midair. Kli achavid sar, bring another kli and place it next to the roof to collect the flow, the drip. So the limitation here is regarding kli acheru deloy. He can't bring another kli. He can only use one kli. But avav bahu mana, that initial kli, as much as you want, kama debay, as much as you want, masli can save. There's no limitation, because since it's all flowing into one container, we view it as one act, one maisa atzola. There's no concern here. He's not getting overly involved. And therefore, what difference does it make whether this container has a smaller quantity or a larger quantity? It would be mutter. There's no concern of putting it out of the fire. So in summary, we learned about saving food from a fire. The initial Mishnah told us there's a limit of food which is suitable for three sudais. In our Mishnah, we discuss even meya sudais. We seem to have a contradiction. We have two approaches to answer this kasha. Rav Huna says, depends. If he's going ahead and being matzel, he's just simply salvaging it all in one container, such as in the example cited in our Mishnah where the loaves of bread are within this one basket, then he's allowed. Whereas the earlier Mishnah is discussing lakapil, he's gathering together containers, in which case he's overly exerting himself and he's limited to three sudas. Rav said the difference is whether he is saving to this very chatzar. In this case, he's allowed to do it even if it's a large amount. Whereas the earlier Mishnah was discussing transporting to a different chatzar, in which case he's exerting more effort, more tircha, and therefore we limit him only to three sudas. The Gemara concludes, regarding kipul v'yinich, he gathers together containers and puts it into his one talis, this one container, and carries them all out in this manner. It's one act, it's called bala hatzel, and therefore it's mutter, regardless of the quantity involved. Continues the Gemara, the eagle shall dvela. The Mishnah told us that this fellow announces to others, "Boyu ba'tzilochem, come and salvage for yourselves." And the Mishnah continues, "V'imhoyu pikchen, if they were wise fellows, oysnimoy cheshbon achar Shabbos, they will make with him a cheshbon, a calculation after Shabbos, to get paid for their efforts." Says the Gemara, "Cheshbon may avidite. What room is there to make a cheshbon?" Meaning, it seems in the Mishnah that need to return the supplies to him, and in return, in exchange, they'll get paid for their efforts. Why did they need to return the supplies? It's not his any longer. Mefkeru kazahu. They got it from Hefker. It's ownerless. Because, you see, in his words even, it's pretty clear that it's Hefker, because he says, "Boy vatzil lochem, go save for yourselves. The remaining food here is not useful for me because I could only salvage three sudais worth. It's hefker." So why are they required to return the supplies? Amar Rav Chisda, midas chasidus shanakan. The Mishnah here is discussing midas chasidus, attribute of chasidus, of extra piety. Meaning, although halachically speaking, according to the letter of the law, they may keep the supplies, but they have no interest in keeping somebody else's property. They know that it was against his will that he rendered it ownerless. It wasn't really something which he wanted to do. Therefore, they don't want to benefit from somebody else's possessions. And therefore, they return it to him. But they sit down and make a calculation so that he pays them for their efforts. Says Gemara, how do these two things work hand in hand? Omar Rava Chasidi, if these people are Chasidim, Agra de Shabbat Shakli, are they meant to take Agra, Schar, payment for Shabbos effort, Agra de Shabbat Shakli? Are they going to take that money? What's wrong? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is towards the bottom. So we have the wide lines on the bottom of the Amud. Now it's 10 lines above the wide lines, beginning with the words Chasidi, Agro de Shabbat Shakli. Are they going to take Schar Shabbos? Bitmi, a question mark. Im Chasidim, if they're really Chasidim, Yeshlam Levatim Shalem. They're meant to forego something which is rightfully theirs. Behold, Dover, regarding anything Shiyesh by Nidnon Avera, which has some resemblance to Avera, explains Rashi. Va'af Agav de Lav Schar Shabbos Gomeru. Even though certainly in this case it's not considered to be Schar Shabbos. Because Sharei Lo Yisna, because he didn't stipulate with them, he didn't make up a salary, a price with them. With Keru Kazach, they simply garnered from Hefker, they took the Hefker items, went home. It's really theirs. They weren't his employees. Still in all, they shouldn't be taking money for their Shabbos efforts. Miu chosid le mikri. A person is not called a chosid unless Elam came to Vat Mishloi, until he foregoes, he gives something which is rightfully his. So this money here, even though technically speaking it's mutter for them to accept it, but it resembles, somewhat loosely resembles, money earned on Shabbos, and therefore they're meant to forego that money. So these people are Hasidim, that's why they're returning the supplies. They don't want to benefit from something which belongs, which is somebody else's. They shouldn't be taking money for their efforts either. Ela Marava, you know, we're not speaking with these ultra pious people. Hachabi Rei Shamayim Askin, we're not speaking about a Chas. We're speaking about Rei Shamayim. He hasn't attained that high level of Hasidus yet. He's merely one who fears Shemayim, he fears Avera. And therefore, number one, on the one hand, he doesn't want to benefit from somebody else's property. V'loy nichale, he's not happy with, he's not satisfied with the lesaniyeh macherim of benefiting from somebody else's possessions. So he wants to return the supplies. At the same time, u'bechinam namin olichale l'litruch. He doesn't want to work for nothing. He doesn't want to work. Be matriach bechinam. He wants to get paid for his efforts. V'achikama, this is what the Mishnah means to say. If these people were wise, were smart, educated people, the Yadi who know the halachas of Shabbos, the Yadi the Kai Gavna loves Schar Shabbos, they know this type of a scenario does not involve Schar Shabbos. As we said, they're not employees. Therefore, technically speaking, it's mutter. Therefore, they know they can take money for their efforts. Therefore, on the one hand, they return the supplies, they don't want to take something which is someone else's. At the same time, they don't want to go away empty-handed, and they know, halachically speaking, one can take money for this effort. So they make a cheshbon with him, they sit down, they make a calculation after Shabbos, and they get paid for their efforts. Continues the Gemara, Leicha Matzilin, and if we take a closer look at the Lashon HaMishnah, we see that discrepancy in the linguistics, in the discussion regarding the food. He says, Boi Matzil Lochem, salvage for yourself. When discussing salvaging items of garments, begadim, he says, Boi Yatzil Imi, with me. So why this disparity? Says the Gemara, Maish Nahacha Tani Lochem. Why over here when it comes to food does he say Lochem? Or Maish Nahacha, why over here when it comes to the garments? The Tani Imi does it say salvage with me? Amri, so they said, the answer is as follows. Gavim Azoinois Tani Lochem. When it comes to the foodstuffs, it says Lochem. Why? Mishum de like a chazu, like a Ela Mazen Gimosuda, is because it is not suitable for him. More than three sudais is not suitable for him. He can only salvage Ela Mazen Gimosudais. More than that is useless for him. Therefore it's hefker, it's rendered ownerless. It's hefker, and therefore he uses the term lachem for yourself, it's yours. In contrast to the garments, Aval Gabi Levushim, Ktani Imi, over there it says Imi, why? Because it's still rightfully his. Mishum de Kechazile, because it is suitable for him, Lekuli Yami, for the entire day, meaning he can go in and out. As we said, he can do it in shifts. He can repeat the process over and over, get dressed, go out, undress, go back in. Therefore, it's still considered to be his. It's not Hefker. That's why he uses the term Boi Vatzili, me, with me, meaning salvage with me my belongings. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Loivesh, so he can get dressed. And Umaitzi, transport them out. Upaishit, undress, v'choizer, go back in, v'loivish, get dressed again, u'moise, take out, u'poishit, undress, avafil, koyem, kulay, can do this even the entire day long. Divereme. Rabbi Yossi, Omer? No, he's limited to 18 begadim. Shmoinas or kelim, only 18. Veluhein, these are the 18 kelim. Veluhein, shmoinas or kelim. Now, it's kind of hard to describe exactly how the ancient begadim looked like. Try our best. Makhtoirin, Rashi says, is mantle, some type of cloak. Unkli is some undershirt, upunda, is a belt, a hollow belt, a money belt, which is worn on the outside of his clothing. Kalbus shel pishtan, some sort of choker, which closes up the clothes together, two sides of the garment, made of pishtan. This kalbus is made of pishtan, of flax. V'cholok, a robe, v'apilya, it's some sort of, actually, the sudden, a sheet, which he wraps himself with. Ma'apiris is some sort of head turban. Ushnei sefarkin, some say this is some type of pants, two, I guess one on each foot. Ushnei menolim, two shoes. Ushnei ampiloi, some say this is two socks. Ubeis pargoid, some sort of two knee straps, knee pads. V'chagor shebemosnov, this is a belt placed on his waist, meaning this is not the punda mentioned earlier, which is wrapping his, which is on the outside of his begadim. This is something which is wrapping tying the chaluk to his body. So there's a garment between the punda and the chag. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to wear a double belt. V'koyvish beroishoy, there's the hat on his head. V'sudosh betzavoroy, and the scarf around his neck. So in summary, regarding saving begadim, we have machlokes. According to Rav Meir, he can get himself dressed layer upon layer, and he can go ahead and do this repeatedly, in and out, many times. According to Rav Yossi, he's limited to 18 begadim, and only as a one-time deal. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Shimon ben Anas Omer, person oyer shel gdi, one may go ahead and spread the hide, moist hide of a gdi, of a goat, agabe, on top of shida teva migdal, different wooden types of closets, of armors, different types of chests or closets. So these closets caught fire. She'achas ben hasa'ur. So these chests have caught fire, and he's going to spread the oyer on top of them, on the portion which has not yet caught fire, to blunt the advance of the fire. So this oyer, this leather, is fire retardant. So you can do so because the oyer merely gets singed, it shrinks a bit. It doesn't burn. So it has that power to protect the chest from the advancing fire. It's a fire retardant. Continues the Mishnah. Va'isa mechitza b'chal akelim. Likewise, a person can create a barrier, a mechitza, around the fire using any type of kli, any type of utensil, bein maleim, whether they're filled with water, bein rikonim, whether they're empty, b'shvushal etavad lega, in order to prevent the fire from advancing. Rabbi Yossi oiser b'klei cheres chadoshim, maleim mayim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't make the barrier in a manner in which it's going to actually put out the fire. Therefore, he says, one may not use klei cheres, these earthenware kelim, chadoshim, new ones, which don't have the ability to withstand the fire properly. So if they're full of water, mlei mayim, he cannot use them as a barrier. Because they can't withstand the heat of the fire. They mizbakin, and they go and they crack up. And the water flows out and puts out the fire. So even causing the extinguishing of the fire, gram kibu, as the Gemara is going to call it, is also contrabiyasi, as opposed to the Tanakam, who allows even causing the fire to be extinguished. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Talis, She'achas ba'or, Or. So if you have a talis which caught fire mitzad echad on one side, Nois no leo mayim mitzad achar, one can place water on the other side to prevent the spread of fire. Vin kafsa kafsa. No, if the fire went out, fine. He didn't actually put it out. It's mutter, even though he's causing the fire to be extinguished. Meisrei, we have a brisa, which seems to indicate that to cause a fire to go out is asur. The brisa says, talus she'achas ba'ur mitzad echad. If you have a talus which caught fire on one side, poishto meschasaba, he can go ahead and spread it out, or meschasaba, and dress himself with his talus. So the point is to spread apart the talus to prevent the fire from proceeding properly. Vim kafsa kafsa, the fire went out, fine, went out. V'chein sev v'tayr, likewise sev v'tayr, she'achas ba'or, which caught fire, poish sev v'koyr, but you can open it up, unroll it, and read from it. Vim kava kava, now, fire went out. It went out as long as he doesn't actively put out the fire. So we see clearly that even to go ahead and cause the fire to go out by placing water around it would be asr. Sakar, Yehuda tells the name of Rav, even placing water is mutter, so it's like more very simple. Huda amr, kripshim bananas. Rav is following the shita of Shimon Ananas, who in the Mishnah tells us one may spread the Oir, on the Shita Teva Migdal, he can use Kalim. So you see clearly that he can go ahead and spread the fire, prevent the fire from spreading. Says in 1 second, how could you compare the two things? Aim with the Oir of Shum ben Nanas. When did Rav Shimon ben Anas state his halacha? That's only in the case of the leather, of the hide. Because he tells us the reason, because it gets singed, it cringes, it shrinks, but doesn't actually put out the fire like water does. Gram kibui mi amar. Did he say that one is allowed to do causation of kibui to cause the extinguishing of the fire by placing water? It's more yes, in yes. Meitani sefer. Since the Sefer says, Rabbi Yossi oyser b'klicheres chadoshim le'imayim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Tanakam. He says, one cannot go ahead and use klicheres chadoshim, these new earthenware kelim le'imayim filled with water, she'en mechoyim kabal se'or, because they don't have the ability to withstand the fire. They miss baken, and as a result, they crack. U'mechabnes adleika, and the water which runs out puts out the fire. So Rabbi Yossi is the one who prohibits. Apparently Tanakam is shari, and Tanakam, who's Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, allows even using kalim, which are klecheres chadoshim, filled with water as a barrier around the fire, even though they're liable to crack up and to actually extinguish the fire. Apparently he holds that gram kibuy is mutter, causing the extinguishing of the fire is mutter. And likewise, Rav Yehuda tells the name of Rav, by the talus, which caught partially caught fire, he can go place some water there to prevent the spread of fire, actually, which will actually put out the fire, because water is mechab, puts out the fire. So we have a source for the shita, which is the Tanakama of Shimon ben Anas of Al-Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabbana Neir Shal Gavi Tavla. If there's a candle sitting on a tray, he needs the tray. Minar Sa Tavla, he can simply shake the tray. Vinei Feles, and the candle simply falls down. Vim Kofsa Kofsa. If the flame went out, fine, it went out. He didn't actually put it out. And it was a Dovashen Meskaven. He didn't really intend on putting out the flame, so it's mut. Amri, Devei Rav Yanai. So they said in the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai. But there's one stipulation here. Leishanu, this is only said, this allowance only pertains to a case. El B'Sheicher, when he forgot, he inadvertently placed the candle on the tray. In which case, the tray is not mukta. Avu B'Meniach. But if he purposely places the candle on the tray, in this case, the tray itself is muktzah. Nasa buses davar aser. The tray itself became a base, a support for a muktzah item, and therefore, the tavla itself is muktzah. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Brisa. Ner shachiri adelis. There was a ner situated behind the door. Peseach b'neil kedarka. You may open and close the door as usual, without any concern that the gust of wind perhaps will put out the flame, because he's engaged in opening and closing doors. He has no kavana, has no intention to put out this flame. It's a dover she'enu miskaven, therefore it's mutter. Him kofsa kofsa, the flame went out, it went out, he's not held accountable. Layita lo Rav. Rav cursed on this. He cursed on those who follow this halacha. Omer le Ravina lo Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav. So Ravina asked Rav Acha, the son of Rav, some say it was Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav, lo Rav Ashi. My time with Laita Larav, why did Rav curse on this halacha, those who follow this halacha? Why was he so vehemently opposed? Ilemam, should we say Bishum the Rav Saval Krab Yehuda? Because Rav holds, he rules, he passes like a Yehuda that holds Dover, She'edim, Eskav, and is Aser. So even if there's an incidental malacha taking place, which he has no kavana for, it's Aser. V'tana, now this Tana who allows, Katani look at Rav Shimon. He stated his halacha in accordance with Shitzer of Shimon, who holds that a Dabash Enris Kavan is Mutter. So is that the reason why Rav was so vehemently opposed and expressed himself so sharply, and lie it, a curse? Says more, is that the reason? Mishum de Rav Sovala Krab Yehuda. Just because Rav holds like a Yehuda, called the Tani Krab Shimon, everybody else that learns and teaches in accordance with Shimon's Shita, Melet Layet Lay. Rav will curse them? No, it's a legitimate shita, it's a legitimate opinion. Why did Rav express himself so vehemently? Says the Gemara, you know why? Because Rav holds, and in this case, Amar Leis, he told him, Baha, in this case, Afilu Rav Shimon Moida. Even Rav Shimon would be Moida that it's also, because it's inevitable. Rav holds that the flame will go out because of the opening and closing of the door. It's inevitable. It's not merely a davar she'eino miskaven. It's a psik reisha. And therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, it would be also. The Habayi Rav and Amit Habayi, because Habayi and Rav both said, Moider Reb Shimon, B'psik Reishiv Alayomus. Reb Shimon agrees. He is Moider to Reb Yehuda in the case of P'sik Reishiv, he cut off the head of an animal of Alayomus, expect not to die. So when it's inevitable, even Reb Shimon holds it's Aser, according to Rav, this case of opening and closing a door front of the candle is considered to be mechaba. He's extinguishing. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Therefore, he holds that according to all shittos, this is awesome. Continues the Gemara with another case. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Paseach Adam Delas Keneged Hamadura. One may open a door opposite a Madura, generally a large fire. He can do this b'Shabbos. There's no concern that the gust of wind entering will fan the flames. Layit ala Abayi. Abayi cursed on this. On those who follow this leniency. Says the Gemara, let's analyze the situation. What am I asking? What are we speaking about? Are we speaking about that there's merely a ruach metzuya, a commonly found wind, which is entering, which has no ability to fan the flames? If so, my time demand the asr. What is the reason of Abaye, who says it's asr? There's no concern here. Ibruach sheinu metzuya, are we speaking about that there's an unusual wind, a strong gust entering, which has the ability to fan the flames? If so, my time demand the shari. If so, what is the reason of the shita that allows? Certainly we're speaking about, it's merely a ruach metzuya, a commonly found wind, which does not have the ability to fan the flames. Marsava gazrin, Abai holds, we make a gzera nevertheless. If we're going to allow this, then perhaps he's going to mistakenly allow it even in a case where there's a ruach she'ena metzuya, an unusual wind which has the ability to fan the flames, therefore we prohibit this as well. Umar Savar, Rabbi Dos, like Azrin, we don't make Xera, and therefore, if it's merely a commonly found wind, the ruach metzuya, which doesn't have the ability to fan the flames, there's no concern of opening the door. So in summary, if one has a nair which is on the tray, which was put there, left it inadvertently, in which the tray itself doesn't become muktzah, the Gemara tells us he can merely shake off the candle and use the tray. When they have a nair which is behind the door, the Braisa says he can open and close that door. Rav says it's also because it's a psikresh, it's inevitable that it's going to extinguish the flame. Opening a door in front of a madura, in a case where it's just a normal wind here, a typical wind, which doesn't have the ability to fan the flames, Rav says it's mutter. Abai says usr for concern that he might do so even when there's a strong wind present. Continues the Gemara. Ois mechitza, getting back to our Mishnah, where the Tanakhama told us that one may erect a mechitza, a barrier around a fire on Shabbos to prevent it spreading. He can use empty kelim, even kelim filled with water, even kelim which are liable to crack, to break apart when confronted with those flames. And this will result in the water within these kelim to flow out and put out the flames. The Shita of the Tanakhama, which is the Shita of the Rabbanon, holds that Gra Mekibui is Mutter. Bringing about causing the extinguishing of flame on Shabbos is Mutter. We're speaking about a Makam Hefsed, a situation which involves monetary loss. Therefore, the Chacham allowed him to be Goyrim, the extinguishing of the fires. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yossi, one must be careful. He cannot use the Klei Cheres Chadashim, those new earthenware kelim filled with water, which are destined to crack, to fall apart when confronted with the flames. So Rabbi Yossi holds that Gram Kibui, causing the extinguishing of flames on Shabbos, is Aser. Says the Gemara, is this the proper formula? Lememer, shall we say, through Rabbanan Savri, Gram Kibui is Mutter. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Gram Kibui is Aser. V'if Chashamin Elu, we have a Braisa in which we find that they took on different views. Their opinions seem to be reversed. The Sani is willing to the Braisa. Ois Mechitza B'Kelem Rekon. One may erect a Mechitza around the fire using empty Kelem. Likewise, he can use kelim which were filled with water, ubimalayin, provided, shein darkin lishtaver, those type of kelim, which are not those that are liable to break apart when confronted with the flames. Ve'elu malayin and shein darkin lishtaver, what is an example of those type of kelim, which won't fall apart when confronted with the fire? Klei matches, metal kelim. So you see that according to Rabbanan, there is a concern about using those kelim which can bring about the extinguishing of the flames. In contrast to the Rabbanan, our Mishnah, which are not concerned with Gram Kivu. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Av Klei Kvar Shichin, not only metal kelim are suitable, even the kelim, the earthenware kelim made from the earth of Kvar Shichin, Rashi says, this offer, this earth there was strong and they formed durable Klecheres from it, which has the power to withstand fire. So Rabbi Yossi says, even these can be added to the list. Af klik v'ashichin, klik v'achamanya, ein darkan l'ishtaver. They do not generally crack, break apart, when faced with fire. So on the one hand, we see that the Rabbanon here in this Brisa are concerned about gram kivoy, something which is totally opposed to the Shita Rabbanon, now Mishnah, who are not concerned about gram kivoy. And likewise, we find that Rabbi Yossi, although in our Mishnah, he is machmer more than the Rabbanon. He doesn't allow the Kli Cheres to be used. In the Brisa, in contrast to the Brisa, where we find that he's actually more lenient than the Chachamim. Now, it's not a direct stira by Rabbi Yossi, because in the Mishnah as well, in the Brisa, he's concerned about Gram Kibbutz. But nevertheless, we find something which seems to be inconsistent. In our Mishnah, he is more machmer than the Rabbanon, whereas in the Brisa, he's more lenient than the Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, v'chi teima evach masnisen. Perhaps we should say that we should switch around the shitas in our Mishnah. Meaning, instead of the Chachamim holding that Gram Kibu is Mutter, and Rabbi Yossi holding Aser, perhaps we'll flip things around. The Rabbanon are the ones who say Aser, and indeed that will be consistent with the Braisa, whereas Rabbi Yossi will hold Gram Kibu is Mutter. Now, how are you going to explain the words of Yossi in the Braisa? Says the Rabbanon, perhaps you'll say Eifach Masisen, we'll switch around the Shitas in the Mishnah. If so, how are you going to explain why Rabbi Yossi discusses the Isser of Gram Kibbutz? He's discussing which Kelim he could use, which Kelim he can use. If you're going to switch around the Shitas, then it turns out that the Rabbanon are the ones that hold in the Mishnah that Gram Kibbutz is Aser, Rabbi Yossi holds Mutter. So why does Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa relate to specific type of Kelim which don't break apart? Apparently he's also concerned about causing Kibbutz. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yossi the Braisa? With the Ram Kamar. He's merely relating to their words. I myself don't hold that there's any concern about Gram Kibbutz. I hold it's Mutter. You, who are concerned about Gram Kibbutz, and therefore you only allow Klei Matris to be used, I want to tell you, you can add another two types of Klei Cheres to your list, those which are durable, which will withstand fire. Says the Gemara, O mi matzis achvasla. Can that be? Can you go ahead and switch around the Shitas? That the Rabbanon are the ones who hold that Gram Kibbutz is Aser, Rabbi Yossi holds Mutter. Va'amar Rabba Batachlifa Mishmei de Rav. He said in the name of Rav, Man Tana Gram Kibbutz Aser. Who teaches, who holds that Gram Kibbutz is Aser? Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. So apparently he's the one that says Aser. So you can't switch the Shitas around. It's actually the Rabbanon who say Mutter, Rabbi Yossi says Aser. Ella rather the Oilum Leisefach. Indeed, let's not switch things around. Ubraisa kula Rabbi Yossi. Let's not switch things around. The Rabbanon hold Gram Kibbutz is Mutter. Rabbi Yossi holds Aser. How are we going to reconcile the Braisa with the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, you know, the entire Braisa actually is expressing Rabbi Yossi's view. There's no Rabbanon included there at all. Ubraisa kula Rabbi Yossi. V'chusur mechser. Now let's learn the Braisa as though it's missing some words. V'chik tani, this is how we're meant to learn it. The Braisa begins, one may make a mechitza using empty kelim, ubimaleim, likewise with ones which are filled with water, provided they are the types of kelim shein darkan l'shdaver, which don't generally break when faced with the fire. Ve'elu ein kelim shein darkan l'shdaver. What is an example of these kelim? Klei matchis, metal kelim, uklei kvashicha, uklei kvachananya nami. Those as well, ein darkan l'shdaver, they will not break when confronted with the fire. Because Rabbi Yossi says, Av klik v'arsichin u klik v'achananya, ein darkan l'shdaver. They too fit the bill. They are resistant. They will not break apart when faced with the flames. So the entire Braisa is actually Rabbi Yossi. Indeed, the Rabbanon maintain Gram Kibbutz Mutter. Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibbutz Aser, exactly how their views are recorded in our Mishnah. The Braisa is merely Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who holds Gram Kibbutz Aser. And he's listing for us those kelim which are fire resistant, which won't break apart in the face of fire. And he's compatible. He's going along with his shita that Gram Kibbutz is also. Continues the Gemara. V'rami d'Rabban d'Rabbanon. Now we can go ahead and ask a stira contradiction. Between the Rabbanon and our Mishnah hold that causing is mutter, in contrast to a different Rabbanon found in the next Braisa, who seem to hold that causing bringing about is also. V'rami Rabbi Yosi said Rabbi Yosi. Likewise, we seem to have a stira to Rabbi Yosi and our Mishnah holds that bringing about is Aser. And conscious Rabbi Yosi in the following brayso holds that being goyim is mutter. The son is learned in the brayso. Harei shayu shame kosel sorry. If one had a shame of Hashem written on his flesh, harei ze lo yirchitz. He may not go ahead and wash that area because one may not erase the shame of Hashem. We're going to learn it from a pasuk soon. Likewise, he can't anoint that area. He shouldn't stand in an unclean area, which is disrespectful for the shame Hashem on his flesh. Now, let's say he encountered a tefillah shel mitzvah, an obligatory tefillah. He was told he needs to be tevil. What should he do with the shame Hashem? He wraps on the shame Hashem a gemi, a reed grass to cover it. V'yorid the tevil, and he goes down and he's tevil. So he cannot go down without any protection because we're concerned that he's being goyrim, he's bringing about, he's causing the mechika, the erasure of the Shem Hashem. So you see clearly that the Rabban here are concerned about being goyrim. Continues the Brayser, B'yaisi Yomer, lo'ilum yorid v'toivel k'darkoi. He has no problem. He can go down and be toivel as usual. Ubevashle yishafshif, provided he doesn't actually scrub that area and manually erases the Shem Hashem. So bringing about, causing his mutter. So this is unconscious. Rabbi Yosi tells us in our Mishnah that causing is aser. So that's not shani hasam. Over there it's different. The Amar Kav, because the pasuk says v'yibadetem shmo min hamakom ahu. This is referring to the name of a Vedzara. You want to erase, to get rid of their name, the name of the Vedzara from that place. Lo yisasun kein l'Hashem alakechem. Don't do this to Hashem. Meaning, don't erase Hashem's name. The pasuk employs the term sasun. We learn from here asiyahu da aser. Strictly doing, manually erasing Hashem's name, that is what's aser. Grama? But merely causing, bringing about, surely that's mutter. So that reconciles, that's the teretz on Rabbi Yosi. Why does he allow goyrim by erasure, by mechik of Hashem? Because the pasuk employs the word asiyah, implying that merely causing, bringing about is mutter. Says the Gemara, one second, ihachi, if that's the case, hachanami ksiv, likewise over here by Shabbos it says, lo yisasukom malacha. Don't do any malacha. Asiyu da'aser. Actually doing the malacha, actively doing with a ma'aser, a gram ashari, merely bringing it about. Gram kibu should be mutter. So why does Rabbi Yosi hold that gram kibu is aser? Says the Gemara, you know what? Technically speaking, it would be mutter. But there's an additional concern. Since a person is full of trepidation, is anxious regarding his property that's going up in flames. Says Rabbi Yosi, he is shorer slave, you allow him even to be goyrim kibui, oshilich buye. He might come, he might be tempted to actually put out the flames. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi maintains that Shabbos is unique. Putting out a flame is unique. Even though, technically speaking, we should allow it, but there's a concern that if we allow it to be done even by way of causation, even by grama, he would go ahead and actually put it out. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi holds that gram kibu is aser. Says the Gemara, Yochi. Now, if this is the case, kasha d'rabban d'rabbanon. The kasha of one rabbanon on the other rabbanon is very difficult. You know what? It's even more difficult now. The rabbanon, our Mishnah, who allow gram kibu, causing the extinguishing of the flames, as opposed to the rabbanon and the brisa, who say that causing the erasure of Hashem's name is aser. Why is it even more difficult now? Uma hasam. Now, since we find it over there by the fire, despite the fact that there's an additional concern, the Adam Bol of a minor, you just said a person is full of behilos, trepidation regarding his property, Shari, nevertheless, they allow, they're not concerned about the fact that if you allow him this, he's going to go and do that due to his over-involvement. They allow it. They allow in our Mishnah to protect one's property, to surround the fire using all types of kelim, even those that break apart and bring about the kibui of the fire. So if they allow it over there, and certainly over here by the Shem Hashem, where there's no such a concern about putting out fires, etc. So certainly they should allow one to bring about the erasure of Hashem's name. So why do they insist on placing the gemi to protect the name of Hashem from the waters? Says the Gemara, one second. Vitisbara. Do you really think that's the pshat in this brisa? That is the concern that we're dealing with, erasing Hashem's name. Hi, Gemi Hechidami. Let's analyze. This Gemi that he's placing on his hand, Hechidami, how is it taking place? Idi Mehadak, if it's placed firmly and tightly, Kavachatzitza. How's he going to the mikvah? It's a chatzitza. It's a barrier preventing the water from reaching his hand. Eloi mahadik, if it's not put on tight, ayli be maya. If so, water will go right in it, right underneath it, and erase Hashem's name. So what good is the gevi here? Says it in 1 second. One at a time. Chatzitza, you're concerned about chatzitza? Why didn't you have this kasha without the gemi? Typically, mishum dioi. Why aren't you concerned about chatzitza? You have chatzitza because of the, on account of the ink that's present, the Shem Hashem that's there. Says Gemara, that's not really a concern. But lacha, because we're speaking about wet ink, and that doesn't pose a concern. The sign is one to the price. Adam, blood, vadioi, ink, hadvash, honey, vacholov, or milk. Yiveshin chaytitzin. Only when they're dry, they're considered to be a chatzitz. Lachem, when they're wet, ein chaytitzim, they're not a chatzitz because the water of the mikveh penetrates through them. So the dio here is not concerned. But let's get back to the question of the gemi, mekom mekom kashi. In any case, at any rate, it's very difficult. Because if the concern here is about erasing Hashem's name, so meman of shach, if it's tight, then the water won't enter. If it's loose, then the water enters and the name of Hashem gets erased in any case. So apparently, the discussion is not regarding erasing Hashem's name. Why? Because it's merely taking place by causation, by grama, and therefore it's mutter, because the pasuk only speaks about actually manually erasing Hashem's name. So the concern here is not about erasing Hashem's name. Ella omar rava bar avshila hainu tamay derabon. They hold, the kasavri, they hold, osur lamed b'fnei Hashem aram. One may not stand in front of Hashem's name undressed. Therefore they require covering Hashem's name. But it's unrelated to erasing Hashem's name. And therefore, there's no kasha whatsoever from this brisa, Tao Mishnah regarding gram kibui. The rabbanon allow gram kibui. Why do they insist on placing the gemi on the name of Hashem? It's not on concern of the name of Hashem being erased through a grama. Rather, it's a whole different concern because one cannot stand disrespectfully in front of Hashem's name if he needs to cover it. Says one mechalad Rabbi Yisrael Saver. Apparently, Rabbi Yisrael holds mutar lamed b'fnei Hashem aram. Rabbi Yisrael does not require this gemi to be placed on the name of Hashem. He holds one can stand in front of Hashem's name undressed. That can't be. Says the more demanach yadi levay. He simply places, he'll place his hand on the Shem of Hashem and cover it in that manner. Therefore, he doesn't require a reed to be used. Rabbanan Nami, says the Gemara, if so, according to them as well, demanach yadi levay. Let him place his hand on the name of Hashem. Why does he need a gemi? Says the more zimnin, perhaps, at times, the mishtah leave a shakli, he'll forget and inadvertently remove his hand and leave the name of Hashem exposed. Therefore, they require a gemi to be used. Says the Rabbi Sinami, if so, according to him as well, zimnin the mishtali, perhaps he'll forget the shakli and remove his hand. So why does Rabbi Yeshi suffice with merely a hand covering? Says the Ella, rather, idik a gemi. You know what, if there's a gemi accessible, hachinami, you're right. Of course, all will require the gemi to be applied. We're speaking about the Haduria Gemi. There's no Gemi present. The question is, should he go look for one? Rabbanan Savri, yes, he's meant to go look for one. Why? Tefillah b'zman olav mitzvah. There's no requirement, there's no mitzvah to be toil at the appointed time as soon as he finishes the day of Tumah, the days of Tumah. There's no mitzvah. Therefore, Therefore, we require to go ahead and look for the Gemi to properly cover the Shem Hashem, lest it get exposed and be exposed to his body in a disrespectful manner. They're not concerned that perhaps due to his search for the gemi, the tefillah will be delayed to the next day. There's no concern because tefillah bizman is not a mitzvah. In contrast to Rabbi Yossi holds, Rabbi Yossi savar tefillah bizman a mitzvah. Yes, certainly there is a mitzvah to be toiv at the right time. And therefore, v'loi madrinon, we don't go looking for a gemi for concern that perhaps that will delay his tefillah. So in summary, may one be goyreim the mechika of Hashem's name, can one cause the erasure of Hashem's name according to all shittas that's mutter? What about causing the extinguishing of a fire on Shabbos when he's faced with monetary loss, gram kibui? According to Rabbanan, that's mutter. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's also because we're concerned that he perhaps will be tempted to manually put out the fire. What if one needs to be toivah when he has the shame of Hashem written on his flesh? So he can't expose his body to the shame of Hashem, out of respect he must cover it. The Rabbanan insists on him using some type of band like a gemi. According to Rabbi Yossi, when there's none available, he simply covers it using his hand. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, which told us one may save this huge basket full of loaves of bread from a fire. We had a kasha, but how does this work with the Mishnah earlier, which gave us a limit of 3 sudeis? Says Rav Huna, here he's saving it all at once, as opposed to that Mishnah, where he's gathering containers. Therefore, he's limited. Rav says, here we're speaking about salvaging to the same chatzar. The other Mishnah is speaking about to a different chatzar. And therefore, he's limited to three sudas. The Gemara told us, kipil v'yinich, if he gathers containers and places them into a large container, he can carry them out all at once. And there's no concern about quantity. What about salvaging clothing? We have machlekes. Rameh says he can wear layers and go in and out many times. According to Rabbi Yossi, he can only come one time and at a maximum of 18 bgadim. If one inadvertently left his burning candle on a tray and he needs that tray for Shabbos, he can shake off the candle and use the tray. If there's a nair behind the doorway, the Braisa says he can open and close that doorway, going to Rav, it's usur, because it's inevitable that the flame will go out. He can. What about opening a doorway in front of a medura when there's only a ruach metzuya, which does not have the ability to fan the flames, according to Rav Yudah, it's mutter, according to Rabbi, it's usur. We concluded that to be gurim b'chikas Hashem, all agree is mutter. To be gurim kiboy, we have a machlekes. The Rabbanan insists on a gemi being placed on Hashem's name, whereas Rabbi Yossi does not.